All right, welcome to Sports Fluent, the Coach and AK Experience. I'm Anthony K, here with the coach, Hugh Jackson, and here with another coach, Keenan Smith. How you doing, Keenan?
Good, I'm good. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm glad you guys could join us. And I want to start right off the bat. I want to do a TSU update because obviously I got two of the guys that are going to be leading the offensive charge on that team. Where are we in the season? Are we at recruiting stages yet? Are we still prepping? Like, where are we allowed to talk to? Where are we in the process?
Well, honestly, Anthony, we're in both of those processes. We're in the prep process because we're finally getting together and putting the offense together, but we're also recruiting. So we're trying to finish up some loose ends as far as recruiting is concerned. Get some other guys in the boat and see if we can put a great system together and go win some football games.
Obviously the wide receiver coach here, Keenan, how the wide receivers looking this year? You know, I'm a little old, but I used to play a little receiver back in the day. I think I got a year left of eligibility if you need someone.
Can you break 4.5?
I can, if you mean like 45 seconds. Yeah, I could do a 45 second 40. I think I'm good.
I was saying, if you could break 4.5 and 25, we'll think about it.
All right. I'll just be cheering from the sideline there.
No, it's good. It's been, you know, we all just coaches, it's been here for a couple weeks, a little bit longer than the rest of us, but yeah, the rest of the staff came in this week and we just started checking out the guys and there's some talent. They definitely got some talent here. I'm excited to get to know all the guys and get to see them here in the next couple weeks.
So obviously when you're going through recruiting, getting kind of the offense put together, the players, I'm assuming the schemes, I think you'd be fine with Hugh. He's an okay offensive coordinator. I don't know if you know that or not. How far along would you say you are? And then when do you actually get in and get that first kind of workout with those players?
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they get here in June. Beginning of June, and then we have them all through June, and then they're off in July, and then camp's back up end of July, beginning of August, and then it's go time for week one.
So I'm gonna make the assumption we're expecting kind of like not last year, right, which was chaos. We're regular schedule, we're gonna have games. I don't know the fan situation yet. I don't know if that's been determined, but I'm assuming we'll have at least some people in the stands watching games.
I sure hope so, Anthony. The players need it. They feed off of it. Coaches do too. We need that. I mean, that's the reason why we needed sports a year ago. It kind of brought everybody back together. Nothing has been said, but I think because of the mask restriction is starting to loosen, I would hope that they will allow fans, you know, in the stands.
How much, I'm assuming there's been lots of conversations, but how involved has Eddie George, obviously the head coach, has he been in this process? And, you know, being his first kind of head coaching thing, does he get it? Like, I'm assuming he gets it. That's why you guys are on staff. But I mean, like, do you feel like this, he's going to be a good one? I know that's tough to say, but like, we know he was a great player, right? But from a coach's perspective, has he made that transition pretty well?
I would say, yeah. I mean, there's just certain people that just get it.
Yeah.
And he's definitely one of those people. I mean, you just sit down and talk to him. And I mean, football is football. And if you understand football, you can do it. You can teach it. You can lead it. And that's just the type of personality that he has.
All right. Well, the reason I ask, right, is there's a lot of greats who it's easy for them to play. It's easy, whether it's football or another sport. Like I'm in Canada, so I'm going to give you a hockey reference, right? Wayne Gretzky was the greatest hockey player ever, but he could not coach, right? Because he was like, hey, I need you to do this. And the players just couldn't do it. And he's like, why? I just did it naturally. And they couldn't understand, right? Some people can do that. Other people, right? Maybe not as good on the field, but they're able to tell other people kind of positioning and that sort of thing. So that's why I was curious about Eddie, because he was such a great running back, can he make their transition? So I'm glad to hear that's happening, Anthony.
That's a great point. But when you're a leader of men, you know, I think there's a lot of things you can do. And plus, Eddie's played the sport. He knows he's smart enough to know what he doesn't know.
Right.
And he really leans on his assistants. But I think we all respect him as the head coach and what his role and what his challenge is. And our job is to try to make it as easy for him as we can.
Yeah, no, it's and that's, like I said, there's a, you get a lot of first time coaches, and you hear, sometimes you hear horror stories, like they try, they're not X's and O's, but they're trying to control the X's and O's. And so that's obviously important. So it's good to hear. Outlook for this year, you guys feel, you're feeling good. I see smiles. So I feel like you feel good, but you feel good about the season.
I mean, it's early. It's early. We haven't even been on the grass yet. We just did a campus tour yesterday for the first time. But I mean,
was it? Yeah. And I'm sorry. Is it? It's your first year at TCU, Keenan, as well. You came from?
I came from Southern Utah.
Southern Utah. Okay. How was? Well, I guess it's too early to ask how that program differs. But as a wide receiver coach, what are you looking for other than the 4-5-25? What are you looking for in your wide receivers? Like, are you at that point where you're looking for someone who has had some route running, or is that, hey, that's what I'm going to work on you with?
I want guys that want to be coachable.
Yeah.
And honestly, every receiver has that certain mentality where you just want a dog, like somebody that is going to go out there and, you know, bust his ass every day, every play, never take a down off. And I was willing to learn, because I'm telling you right now, the system is different. Coach is bringing in his extensive NFL background, and that's going to be a little bit different than, you know, most college kids are used to. But, you know, we have a good group of guys on the offensive staff that are really good teachers. And, you know, so as long as the kids are willing to learn, I think we'll be all right.
That was going to be my next question for Coach was, you're bringing in a pro style offense to this team. Cause I think that's twofold, right? I think, although it might be new for them, it's good for them, right? We talked last week about zero players out of HBCUs drafted into the NFL. This is going to set them up, one, for success now, but also down the road, right?
Well, absolutely. I think that's the plan, but we have to be very smart about how we do it. Because at the same time, we have to give them a chance to be successful. I think what we're going to do is really, it's going to be our offense. We're going to really piece it together the right way and make sure that we don't overwhelm them, but we'll have enough things in our arsenal that give us a chance to be successful.
Hey, if you could turn a quarterback into a 1,000-yard receiver, I'm pretty confident that you guys are going to do well. So we're going to get some updates throughout the offseason and obviously when the season progresses. I want to shift gears a little bit to my second favorite sport. I was very happy right before we started this to find out that Keenan was also a Laker fan. But before we get into tomorrow's predictions, how do you feel about the play-in game? Do you think that, I'll start with me. I hate it. I think after 72 games, you know your seeding. A play-in game is just, I know what it's there. It's to build excitement. It's to get some people to watch. It's for money. I understand that. I do get the business. So I don't like it. How do you feel about the play-in game?
I'm with Bron.
Yeah. Hold on. Which Bron? Bron this year?
I'm with the Bron now.
Like, okay.
You know, I think it's exactly like 8 games or 8 teams. That's all you need. That's all you need from, and then I mean, playoffs are already starting exciting enough. NBA playoffs are some of the most exciting to watch. So I don't think you need more excitement than you're already, that they've been doing for so long. So, I mean, when they went from 5-game to 7-game series, that was good enough for me. I don't need playing games.
Coach?
Well, you know, I feel the same way. Obviously, you said it. What it's truly all about is about money. It's about more TV dollars. At the end of the day, these players, they played in a short season a year ago that extended. You know, they're already up against a wall a little bit, and now you're going to stretch them even more, you know. So I just think it's I'm surprised, but I know that big businesses are truly about money, about the dollar. How can we capture the dollar? How can we capture the space? And that's exactly what they're doing.
So that I keep it real and I stay genuine, right? I'll admit, I've never defended LeBron James until he became a Laker. Okay? It's out there. I've said it. But I will say this. I know what he meant last year, right? They cut the season, or at least when the season got suspended prior to the bubble, they hadn't played enough games. And I get it when he said, okay, let's throw those guys in and let them play each other and work it out. And it is a different scenario this year. So I get, you know, a lot of people have gotten on him a little bit by saying, hey, last year you liked it. And now that you're in the playing game, you don't like it as much. It is a different scenario. So I'll admit to that. But that's why I don't like it. Cause you cut the offseason really short. Right. And why'd they do that? Well, they wanted to get the Christmas games in because that's the one that everybody watches on TV and they need their TV revenue. And then now you're making them play a couple extra games. They're like, well, hold on. I thought you cared about player safety. I thought you cared about these things, but apparently not that much. So I've got this is easy. If we're all in agreement. This is fantastic. So I bet we're all going to agree on tomorrow's game, Lakers and Warriors.
Yeah.
Is there anyone that's going to say Warriors here?
Lakers all the way, baby.
All right. Keenan, I don't know. I mean, maybe you'll surprise me, but
I'm from the Bay Area, so you know that's always a tough one for me.
Lakers, oh, you're torn.
Yeah, but I'm going with the Lakers. That's purple and gold all day for me.
I did not have it easy when I lived in San Francisco, and I was like, I'm a Laker fan, and it was at the peak of the Warriors' time, so it was it didn't go over that well. But yeah, obviously Lakers. Although I will say this, the Warriors are a scary team. I think. In a one-game series, because if Steph gets hot, you know, he can take over a game. But I think you guys agree, you got AD and LeBron healthy-ish, they're probably not gonna lose. Do you have any, are you watching, like, I guess I think Indiana might have finished that game, so we'll just stick to the West. Do you think any surprises? What is it, Memphis and Memphis and San Antonio?
I think Memphis might win that. San Antonio has been struggling, especially down the stretch here. So, I mean, it's not like a Popovich coach team to be struggling like they are. I think Memphis still has some very young talent. A lot of people will say it's going to be the Spurs, but I think Memphis has a chance.
I mean, it's hard for me to ever count out Popovich. Like, he just finds a way. I mean, if you listen to Tim Duncan's Hall of Fame speech the other night, it's, you know, he finds a way to bring the best out in players. So it's hard to count them out, especially when it comes down to crunch time. But yeah, it's also hard to, you know, doubt that young talent that Memphis has. So yeah, that'll be a good one to watch for sure.
I've already made my picks, and I have basically everything just staying the same. The 7 seed stays the same. The 8 seed stays the same. Do either one of you think either of the 9 and 10 seed teams can win their game and then beat one of the 7 or 8 seeds and kind of sneak their way into the playoffs?
I don't.
No.
I think the Lakers win. They're the team to beat.
Yeah.
And if God forbid that the Warriors were to win, I don't think neither one of those teams could beat the Warriors either.
I actually have a prediction that there's going to be at least 2, maybe 3 of the 5, 6, 7, 8 seeds in the West win their opening round series.
Oh, wow.
against the Jazz and Phoenix. Have you guys gone that far into it yet? Or
you picked all upsets in the NCAA tourney too, didn't you?
I pick a lot of upsets. Yeah, I sure do. The upsets. No, you know what it is? I just think a healthy Laker team, right, is, listen, when they were healthy, they were the second seed. I think they might be the most dangerous. And not, look, okay, I'm biased, but I also think they're the most dangerous 7th seed we've probably had in a very long time, if not ever. Because again, when healthy, they're the 1-2 seed in the West. So, and then I think the Warriors might be able to see. I don't have faith. Listen, I'll be honest. I'm not a big fan of Chris Paul. And so he doesn't get it done in the playoffs for me. I'm sorry. Wow. I'm not a Chris Paul guy. Look, top 15, I have him, but I've had a whole thing this week about where I rank Chris Paul, and I've come under a lot of heat. So I don't think he's there. I don't think Utah is ready. Yeah. Those top teams in the West from a regular season record scare me. So do you disagree? Agree? I do like Devin Booker. I like Devin Booker, but again, listen, I'm old school. I want you to show me. And until you show me, I don't believe you. And right or wrong, that's how I feel, right? Like you're going to notice this. I've lived in a lot of places. When I lived in Phoenix and Nash was running the Suns, I was like, yeah, they're great in the regular season, but they never got it done in the playoffs. And they never proved me wrong. They never got it done in the playoffs. So that's my take. you guys, it sounds like you disagree a little bit.
Well, I think there are some good teams, and obviously the Jazz has really shown who they are. They've been playing even well without Donovan Mitchell. He's going to be back. So, I mean, they could go on a run here. I still think the Lakers are the most talented team. I think the Clippers can be streaky. But at the end of the day, I'm going to go with the Lakers if they're healthy. And now having Drummond, a guy who can rebound the ball, I think it's going to really give the Lakers a lift.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I mean, Utah did what they've done without their best player, and he's been out. So when Donovan Mitchell comes back, they're still going to be scary. But at the end of the day, it's purple and gold for me.
Yeah.
It's hard to beat. Right,
so, I love this. This is a nice conversation. All right. So we're all on the Lakers. Just you only have one team. Is there a team you think that's going to come out of the East to lose to the Lakers in the finals?
Brooklyn. I think if they're healthy, and I think, I mean, it's almost like the Lakers, they're getting all their players back right now. I mean, you know, you're in the playoffs. It's, you got to go win. You got to play. I think if they are healthy and they're all playing, I think it'll be them and the Lakers.
Mine's Philly.
Philly.
Yeah. They're just so big. Like they have so much size, and you know, Doc Rivers is a great coach, and especially in the playoffs, you know, he struggled a couple times with the Clippers, but he's got a different team now than he has before. Mm-hmm. So I think they can be a little scary in the playoffs.
No, but nobody's on the Bucks.
Nah.
Bucks, I think it's awesome.
I'm torn because I don't think Brooklyn will stay healthy right through the entire playoffs. I think, and I don't think they've played enough together. Yeah, when they all are healthy and together, I think you're right, Coach. There's not going to be a team that could beat them, and that's why I'm worried about the Bucks. But I actually have Philly as well, which pains me. but since my hometown Raptors didn't even make the playoffs this year, we're gonna go with Philly. So now, when flipping back to football, last week, I don't know if you know this, Keenan, I ambushed Coach. So I'm a big NFC, I'm a big Bears fan, as you can probably tell from the helmet behind me. And I brought in Adam Rank, and we kind of tag teamed and tried to get him converted over to the Bears. And we went through the NFC North. I know it's not going to happen, but I'm still going to try. So I got a surprise for you also next week, Coach. I can't tell you.
Oh, wow.
Here's the hint I'm going to drop. The greatest bear ever, his son will be joining us. So
that's an easy one.
It should be an easy one. Should be an easy one. He played running back.
I know.
So we're going to try and get you again on the Bears trade. So this week I thought, all right, we did a lot of NFC North last week. So this week we're going to do some AFC North, your old division that you know very well. And we're going to start with your old team. One of your older, the better team that I liked is the Bengals, because my wife is a Bengals fan, so I must say good things about them. How do you think they look this year? You know, I know you were not surprised by them taking Chase with their first round pick. You made me look really smart in front of some other people when I said the Bengals are taking him, and there's no way they're taking the offensive tackle. I said, no. Good pickup, right? Great receiver. How would you like to have him on TCU? Or TSU, excuse me, not TCU, TSU. How do you think they're going to do this year? Do they kind of turn the corner a little bit, or you still think they're in growth building mode?
I think they're still in growth building mode. I hope they turn the corner, because I think they have some very talented skill players. I think they have one of the better receiver groups now by adding Chase and Boyd and T. Higgins and Auden Tate, the other guys they have, but they have a really good quarterback. And I'm just concerned they didn't do enough to protect him. That's my biggest concern. All the flash looks good, but if you can't protect the quarterback in that division, it's rough. And now I'm watching Cleveland with Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. Those guys are going to be screaming off the edge to go get this guy. And if you can't protect this guy, we saw what happened a year ago, and I would hate for that to happen to this young man again.
You with that, Keenan?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, it's, if you can't protect the passer or rush the passer in the NFL, you're going to struggle. I mean, look what Aaron Rodgers did in Green Bay. He has one premier receiver and, you know, a bunch of guys that probably nobody, not a lot of people have heard of until they started playing for him. And, you know, it's now I'm not saying that Joe Burrow's Aaron Rodgers by any means, but I mean, you got to be able to keep that guy upright, especially after losing him for the rest of the season last year. So I agree with that. Now, Ja'Marr Chase is a great player, great player. He's going to learn a lot from AJ Green, but it's, yeah, you got to be able to protect that, the quarterback, the number one draft pick.
So you guys are, you know, both offensive guys. If you're in a situation, I don't know if you've been in this situation where you know your offensive line is a weakness, right? You know that as much as you try to do stuff, you know, to patchwork and to make up for some of their deficiencies, what other things can you do, be it from the wide receivers? Obviously, a running game helps quite a bit. Play action, obviously, if you can get the running game going. What other things can you do to help kind of cover up holes in that offensive line?
Well, obviously, you know, you mentioned being able to run the ball. There's a quick passing game. There's quarterback movement. There's screens. There's all kind of ways to try to work around those things. We probably, you know, I hate to compare. You probably can get away with that more in a college game than you can in National Football League. Talent's talent. And people know where you're struggling. You know, they're going to scratch where it itch. If you're itching on your offensive line, they're going to load up on those guys and make sure that those guys have a bad day. So you probably can mask it a little bit more in certain places, but we all have to do that because at some point in time you get a player injured, guys just not playing as well. You got to find a way to help them and give your team the best chance to win.
So you mentioned Clowney, you mentioned Garrett. Obviously the Browns have done some nice things in the off season to what was already a pretty good team. Is it too early to make a prediction, say they've got the AFC North or based on paper, obviously? What are some of the things you see with, is there anything about the Browns you think that the Ravens or the Steelers have an opportunity to maybe have a better year than they do? Again, talent-wise, they look like the best team, correct?
On paper.
Hey, listen, that's what we're talking about right now is paper.
On paper, but until you go out there and, you know, one thing we've learned about being in the NFL is you never know until you get out there between those lines because literally anybody can beat anybody. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. They got all the talent. Can they put it together? We'll see.
Yeah, coach is shaking his head. I think he agrees with you.
Right, it's a great point. They are the paper champions right now, but Baltimore Ravens are the defending AFC North champions. So
yes.
So they've thrown those guys. Do we know what the Browns can really be? I think everybody's anticipating that they will. They've added some real key pieces to their football team on defense. That's where they really spend a lot of their draft capital. In free agency, they spend a lot of their draft capital, you know, getting the safety from the Rams, the corner from the Rams. I mean, they did some excellent things. Is it enough? You know, are they going to be able to come together and become a team fast enough to unseat Baltimore? I don't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because again, I know we're all talking on paper, but they have a two-headed backfield that's dangerous. They've got the wide receivers. They got the offense. Now they have the defense. Well, if you could run the ball, you could throw the ball and you could defend, you're in pretty good shape.
Yes.
Now it looked like last year, and I'm not knocking Lamar Jackson at all. It looked like, you know, in comparison to the year before, right? It wasn't that he had a bad season. It was in comparison to the year before, like he kind of went down. Do you think they will be able to adjust the offense now? Because defense started to adjust a little bit, and now the offense has to adjust. Are you expecting kind of a similar year to last year, or do you think Lamar kind of takes that next step this year?
Yeah, the other quarterback grew. I'm going to let you know.
No, he has to. He has to take the next step. Their offense have to take the next step. I thought it was very disappointing to watch them rank anywhere from 29 to lower in the passing game. At one time, they were 31st. With a guy who the year before threw so many touchdowns, so many yards. And people say, well, okay, they didn't go get him talent. and maybe they didn't, but they also didn't adjust their scheme to deal with. There's a book on Lamar now. People know, kind of know who he is. There's enough game tape. These defensive coordinators and players are too good. So if you don't, you know, that book, Who Moved My Cheese, if you don't move it a little bit, people gonna know what it smells like. So I think they didn't evolve, and I think they have to. They have to for the player, they have to for the football team.
What do you think of their receiving core, Keenan, since that's your area of expertise?
I mean, they definitely have talent. I mean, it's again, on paper, they have talent. They're getting some guys back from injury. They got speed. And they got a guy that can get them the ball. So hopefully they can put it all together. It'll be exciting to see. Definitely exciting to see what they do with it. And hopefully they bounce back, because as long as that defense is roaring the way it's been going for the last, like 10 years, I feel like it's – as long as they got that defense going, the offense is always going to get some opportunities to make plays, because that defense can keep other teams off the field. And the more chances you give Lamar, the more chances he's going to get to make some plays.
Do you have – either one – have any concern with – with Lamar, kind of the way that he plays, do you think they'll be able to make those adjustments, or do you think now they've got two seasons, right? Now they definitely have the book on, you know, where his strengths are, where his weaknesses are. Do you think he, because we've seen other quarterbacks come in and have great, you know, a great season, right? MVP seasons. Now, I get some of them are injuries, right? Like we've had the Cam Newtons, we've had like, you know, MVP season. Now, obviously injuries played a role there too, but just that style seems to sometimes have a big season and then there's a drop off. Do you think he's going to be kind of along that line, or do you think they're going to be able to make enough adjustments, coach, to like get him back into the groove of things?
I think they have to. I think this is a very pivotal year for their offense and for Lamar, because everybody's saying he can't do it. He can't throw it well enough. And I think he's eager to prove them wrong, but just like that was kind of leaking out during the year, the staff's got to help him prove people wrong, because there were times where, you know, things in game plan were being questioned that was starting to come out of Baltimore. So, and that's the first, you know, I coached there. That's normally not the way things go. So I'm a little surprised, but at the same time, that told me something that they need to make some adjustments to give this guy a chance to be good. And so I think they will.
I hate to say bounce back, because it's not like he had a bad season, but do you think he uptick Keenan, or?
I do. I think he'll bounce back. I mean, he was like that in high school. He was like that in college. And I think a lot of it also had to do with COVID. Like just not being around your guys as much as you normally would be in an off season. And, you know, you don't, as a receiver, you like to build that rapport up with a quarterback, and he probably didn't get as much as that as he would want to. So, you know, things are definitely not like that anymore. He's, you know, been working, and from what I know about the guy, he works really hard. And so hopefully I think he'll bounce back. Now, yeah, really, MVP, I don't know, but I think he'll bounce back.
Yeah, it's funny. We're talking about all this stuff, and it's almost like we forget that last year was this strange no training camp, no OTA, COVID. Who, you know, people got COVID. We don't even know how it affected them. I know, Coach, you and I talked about, you know, like Cam when he, you know, got COVID, and then, you know, he never looked the same after. And I think he even said like the lungs, the breathing, And so, yeah, we almost forget it, or maybe we're trying to forget, but that it's still around. But yeah, it was very different last year. So there's another team in the AFC North, Steelers, I think, right? Is Ben at? I know this. I'm older than Ben, yet I'm going to say, is at Ben at his age, right? Does he still have years left in him? Because he looked off, for lack of a better term, last season. And I know, you know, he's dealing with injuries. I get it. But, you know, Brady looked really good. Ben did not so much, right? Do you think when you've gotten that kind of many injuries, right? He's a bigger guy. He does take some hits, right? One of the things he prides himself on is being able to kind of take a hit and stay up, which is good, but also probably puts a lot of wear and tear on the body. Do you think he's able to lead this team? And again, and now in a division where, right, there's some good teams. They've got some competition right now.
No, they do. It's hard for me to say that Pittsburgh is now falling. You know, they're on the other side, you know, with Ben. And I think personally, I would have moved on. I think towards the end of the year, you watched a hurt Ben Roethlisberger try to make it through and couldn't rally the troops. And now you're going to be playing with new offensive linemen, three guys for sure. You know, and that's concerning to me. And because the offensive line wasn't as good a year ago. So now you got to play with a bunch of new guys, even though you went and got a runner. That told me that they're going to start to switch the mindset a little bit and get back to who Pittsburgh was, which was running the football. But again, I mean, they got a new coordinator, new offensive coordinator. It's going to be interesting to see. And it's his first year calling the game. So it's going to be interesting to see what they come up with for their football team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like you said, new play caller, new offense, new O-line. There's a lot of new things in there for a guy that's been in the league as long as Big Ben has. But at the end of the day, he is a leader. They got a really good head coach in Mike Tomlin. And we'll see what that young running back does. But we'll see.
So with a new play caller, especially one, right, like who's never done it before, as a veteran quarterback, I get it. Each person's going to be a little bit different, but do you like kind of the fresh set of eyes on it? Or is it, just call the game the way I want it called, because I've been doing this for so long that, you know, stop trying to throw in your wrinkles, right? Like, which one do you see more often?
Oh, stop trying to throw in your wrinkles and let me do what I do. You know, it's really interesting because when you think of Tom Brady, I mean, they can say whatever they want, whatever the narrative they want to let out of there. He made the adjustment and made the changes for their offense to become successful. And if you take a guy like him, or if you have a guy like Ben, Aaron Rodgers, the great ones, that's what they want. You know, they've been through it enough. They know what wins and what doesn't win. So you got to listen to those guys. You got to give them a chance to have ownership in putting the offense together. And if you don't, then they're sure not going to do good. So it's going to be interesting for Coach Canada, just watching, you know, him coming from LSU, the way he likes to do things was with a lot of motion and movement and those things. And that's not who Pittsburgh has been.
Well, I don't know. Maybe Juju can like do a dance and then start into his router. How do you feel? I talked to Coach about this. So we already had this discussion, but I'm curious how you feel, Keaton. Like, you know, he got, when they were winning, right, it's fine. When they were losing, you know, it was, hey, he's doing is his TikTok dances on the opposing team's logo. How do you feel about that? Like, I get it. That's kind of what people are doing now. But how do you feel, like, if you're the wide receiver coach on the Steelers and he's doing that, do you care? Are you kind of saying, hey, tone it down a bit, let's focus on the game?
As a receivers coach, you got to understand those guys they're a different breed. So you got to let them go be themselves. If you stop letting them be themselves, then that's when their game starts to fall off. And I mean, it wasn't like he wasn't making plays. I mean, he did make some mistakes, but that happens. He's still relatively young in the league. So, I mean, he's going to be him. And the second he stops being him, that's when, you know, it's not fun anymore. And you want those guys to have as much fun for as long as they can in the league.
I'll say this, from a fantasy perspective, he killed it. But yes, I get it. For real football, he was fine. He was fine. I hear you. He killed me on fantasy. I don't know. Do you play fantasy football at all?
Not really. I let everybody else play.
All right.
They ask me for advice more than I do anything.
All right. Well, if you have good advice, I'm trying to get a short list of people that I could call and get some insights on, because I keep coming in second, and it's driving me crazy. So obviously, you guys, right, I'll go back to the HBCU thing. What does it mean? I'm going to start with Keenan, because Coach, we've talked about it a little bit. What does it mean to coach for an HBCU?
It's huge. It's especially the way that we're doing it here at TSU. A lot of, you know, HBCUs get overlooked a little bit.
not a little bit, but a lot. They don't get the same attention that other schools get. And there's a lot of talent at this level. And just to be able to give those guys a different viewpoint and some exposure, there's a lot of history here. I mean, just walking around campus yesterday and just seeing all the different history from football, the basketball, the track. And it's just, it's, you know, it's a lot to learn. It's, and, you know, it's going to open a lot of people's eyes to the historical value that HBCUs have been around for a long time. And, you know, we're here. So
I know this might be a chicken or egg question, but is it, do top recruits not choose HBCUs because people don't pay them enough attention, or do people not pay them enough attention because not enough top recruits choose to play at a HBCU?
I think it's a combination of both. You know, kids, they want to go out and they want to get the biggest school that they can possibly get to. They want to get the biggest offer, play in front of the most people, get the most exposure. You know, how many times can they get somebody to like a tweet on their phone or something? And you're going to get more of that, you know, at like a Power Five school than you will at HBCU. But there's definitely something to do with, you know, when you see guys come in here and they're successful and they see other guys that were successful here, it just starts a trend. And hopefully we can keep this thing just steamrolling forward and continue to get HBCU some more love.
Yeah, because it wasn't always the case. Last week we ran through a list of some of the greatest NFL players that played at HBCU, and the list is phenomenal. Coach, I know that since now this has happened, you've been paying a little bit more attention to it. What's some of the added responsibility you feel now coaching for an HBCU?
I think it's one, training the players and getting them to understand what it takes if you really have aspirations of playing in the National Football League. Number two, I think it's really responsibility of people like Deion Sanders, Eddie George, myself, Keenan, guys who've coached in the National Football League, to really educate these particular players. And if we do need to reach out to recruit people to come see our guys, we got to do that. We owe them that. And I think it's going to change. I think what we saw this past year, look, they can make an excuse about why it's happened, but that's not the first time it's happened. But we need to make a bigger push for some of these athletes that are in the HBCU schools, because they are talented enough. They have enough determination, desire, and discipline and dedication to go play in the National Football League.
You're not allowed to answer this question, Coach, because I already gave you the answer. Keenan, do you know the biggest, most well-known alumni in TSU history?
In TSU history? And in any sport, are we talking about football?
No, we're just talking in just period. Biggest celebrity to be a TSU alum.
She ran track.
She did not run. I doubt that she ran track.
No, who is it?
Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
add that to my recruiting pitch right there.
Yeah. well, when I told Coach, we were like, we've got to find a way to get her to a game, I think it's.
Yes. Oh, that. I mean, that's absolutely amazing. We have some unbelievable history and tradition, as Keenan said earlier. We have to capitalize on that. You know, the people, we got to bring Oprah back. You know, she has a ton of money. I hate to say it that way, but she needs to write some checks. We can make this a better place. Oprah, if you're listening, write some checks to TSU. We need you. Last time I think we got some money from her was 5 years ago. Let's go. We need you.
Just make her the homecoming queen. That's it.
Absolutely.
Lifetime queen.
Yeah, something. All right. This is going to be a recruiting question, but don't worry. It won't get you in trouble. I'm asking about, I followed Deion. You mentioned Deion Sanders. I follow him on Instagram, and he did it. He's been doing Instagram lives, and he's basically, he opened it up and he will add you into talk to him, pretty much anybody, which I find fantastic. But there's a lot of people saying, hey, you got to come down to this school and see my son play or see my nephew play. You know, he runs a 4.5 and he's right. They'll give him all the stats. And he's like, yeah. And so he's almost like recruiting via social media. Is that something you guys, whether have you done it? Have you talked about it? Is it something you would be open to doing? And or how do you feel about that? Because it's different. But I guess in today's kind of world, it makes sense.
Everybody does things different. You have to find ways to get creative in recruiting. You have to. That's how he's found a way to do it. And, you know, he's prime, so people want to talk to prime. But, I mean, everybody's got a son or a nephew or a cousin or a friend that, you know, everybody's got one that's got all the talent in the world, but, you know, they're not always the best fit for your program. So, no, even regardless of how creative you get, you still got to find the best fit for your program.
Coach, are we going to see you doing IG lives, recruiting some offensive talent?
Look, if that's what it takes, I'll do IG live, Twitter live. I had to. It's about the players. I mean, like you said, we want to find the best fit for our football team and our university. And if a guy demonstrates that, then whatever it takes to follow through on that, we'll do. But you do. That's what I have learned. You got to be very creative. You got to think outside the box. And you almost have to think the way these young men think when it comes to trying to get a hold of them, trying to hold their attention and those things, because this day and age is different with this portal. You know, this portal where these guys can leave and go whenever they want to, one-time transfers. I mean, it is amazing how many numbers are in that portal.
I will scour the Canadian high school football scene for you guys. And if I come across anybody, I will let you know. We have some. Yeah, I think Chase Claypool, right? Right. We got a receiver. So we got one. We got one. Any final words, Keenan, before we let you go? I appreciate you, first of all, for taking the time and joining us today. Any final words before we let you go?
If you need fantasy help, feel free to reach out. We'll help you out.
I got this on tape now. So yes, that will happen. I will say, oddly enough, it is the worst part of my fantasy teams are always my receivers. So we will talk. I go heavy running backs early. So coach, final words before we let you go.
My final words is to all. There's a lot of great things going on at Tennessee State. Obviously, it's an HBCU school that a lot of people probably don't really recognize. But I think in the next several years, people will know more about the school, because I really think Coach George is going to put it on the map along with his staff. And there's going to be some tremendous players playing there.
Are you fluent in sports? Get the full sports fluent experience by joining us on YouTube by searching Sports Fluent. Or you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at sports_fluent, or by visiting sportsfluent.com. Need more from sports? Don't forget to check out undraftedsports.com. The Undrafted Sports Media Network has everything you need from every sport under the sun.